Well, I guess we should say TGIT. Thank God it's Thursday. A little bit of a switch the way you used to say it in the old country. But this week, Bez Hashem, so I'm feeling very good at the end of the week for two reasons. Number one is, like always, it's almost Shabbos. And number two is that it's almost Sunday, which marks the end of my jail sentence. Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach. I don't know what to make of this, but I've noticed, shouldn't happen anymore, that any time I go into Bidud, so it ends up being a period which for other reasons in my life end up being very, very tragic. The last time I went into Bidud, so I think it was the week that Rabbi Nalik was sitting Shiva. You know, some of the guys from the Shir came to visit. Rabbi Nalik's next door neighbor, a friend of mine, you may have seen him written up in Mishpacha. His brother, Yonason Rosenblum, wrote a hesped about him. He was also, after a long illness, somewhat long illness, he also was nifted that week. And this week, so I began my Sunday, afternoon, I should say, on top of my roof, attending a levaya. Can't say a really good friend, but an acquaintance from Tellstone, a cheder rebbe. I used to travel to Yerushalayim with him on the bus at 6:30 in the morning. Anybody who knew him, even just a little bit, knew that the man was a tzaddik. He got up to daven Meiriv and collapsed. 2 days later, at his levaya. But unfortunately, and this is what I want to talk about today, that was all just, if you could say, a build-up to the smack that was coming over the head just a couple of hours later. Every yeshiva has what I would call unsung heroes. Most of the time, the unsung heroes are unsung, not because you don't see what they're doing, but just people don't appreciate it for whatever reason. They can be doing the same thing in full view, and just people don't chop. They don't chop the godless. There are other people who are unsung heroes because of the fact that what they do is just not seen by anybody. And it was my zechus over the last good number of years to come to know and appreciate somebody who was definitely one of our yeshiva's unsung heroes. I learned a lot from him. He was a person that even though I didn't talk to him on a very regular basis, I considered him a friend. And he was a person who he knew how to connect with people. It was his job. It was also the cornerstone of his Avodas Hashem, along with his morning Seder, which was inviolate, his Hisbeidus, his Breslev Derech Avoda. But he connected. And therefore, when suddenly on Sunday afternoon, he just took leave of a lot of people and left a big hole in a lot of people's hearts and a lot of people's lives, it was a shock. And so for the few minutes that we have today, I'd like to just give over some words of appreciation as related to the parsha, to Dr. B, Reb Zev Balin, who unfortunately didn't say such a thing, but shockingly took leave of us this week. Parshas Ve'era is the parsha where we start talking about the Makis. The trick that they taught us when we were little kids is you have the first two letters of Ve'era, the Vav and the Aleph, and then the first two letters of Parshas Bay, the Bays and the Aleph, so you have seven is in Ve'era, and three is in Bay. Ve'era is the lion's share of the Makis. And all through Ve'era, so Paroi is building up. He becomes so stubborn that he can't change his mind. And you have all the psukim. Ki ani echbati eslev avodav. Eslev Paroi, eslev avodav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Paroi stubborn. Ani akshe eslev Paroi. I'm going to harden his heart. And you have the famous question as to how somebody can get punished when they don't have Bechira anymore. Various Rishonim give various Terutzim to that question. But they all revolve around one thing, and that is that you don't lose Bechira in one shot. Paroi wasn't willing to listen. And when we do something bad over and over and over again, it becomes compounded to the extent that either Bederech Nes, or maybe even Bederech Ateva, we lose our Bechira. And so by the time we get to next week's Parsha, Paroi almost cannot make up his mind to change. And that's what happens throughout Ve'era and then going on to Parshas Bay. But the Brisker Rav points out that there's something else that changes when you get to the beginning of Parshas Bay, whereas in Va'era, the different story. You take a look at how Moshe Rabbeinu comes and challenges Paroi through the Makis in this week's Parsha. Every time Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paroi, when he warns him, he says to him, Shlach ami v'avduni. Let them out and let them go serve me. And if you refuse, so I'm going to smash you with frogs. When he talks about, he warns them and he tells them that if you don't listen to me, so then I'm going to punish you. That's it. Comes Parshas Bay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something else. Or Moshe Rabbeinu says, B'Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something else. Number one, he says, Ad Masai Me'anto Leonais Miponai. Up until when are you going to refuse to make yourself like an Oni? Up until when are you not going to have any Hachnoa? Shlach Ami V'Avduni. Send out my people. And then he goes through the same rigmarole. If you don't do it, I threaten that I'm going to send Arba. He asks the Brisker Rav, how come you have this added component when you get to Parshas Bay? Never said this before. Up until when did you refuse to be Nichna? Says the Brisker Rav, it's a Musar Haskil. Up until now, so Paro was Paro. You want to motivate Paro, so what are you going to do? You threaten him. That's how you get him to move. But after seven makas, after seven times of being slammed upside the head, you would think that he realizes that he's not in control. You would think that he gets a little bit of humility. You would think that he becomes an ani. Ad masai me'anta leyonais miponai. Look who you are, Paro. You're not in control. But Paro can't do it. Paro's still aggressive. Paro still thinks that he's the man in charge. Paro still has to keep his ego and his gaiva. Hachnoa, anova, the Bali Musar say, is the Midah of all Midas. Because when a person realizes that he's not really in charge, that the truth, that meaning, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is much, much bigger than he is, so then every good Midah can grow out of that and will grow out of that. But when a person's vision is impeded by his sense of self, by his own autobiography, so everything has to revolve around that. The MS has to dance around me. My sense of meaning has to dance around my ego, and if it doesn't fit, so then I'm going to have to change something. What prevents us from connecting with other people for real is a lack of hachna. Is my ego standing in the way? And that was the mistake that Paro made. And that's what we have to learn. We have to learn that that midah of all midas is the midah of anava. I could sit and tell stories for quite some time. I don't have the time at my disposal, and I don't think that it's really what the doctor ordered right now. But there are two short anecdotes that I do want to share with the Yehlam, just because I think that they're very powerful, and I think that it's something that people can learn a lot from. I remember one of my conversations with Dr. Balin. It's not nice, but I have to admit, I attacked him. We were talking about something on the side, and I said, you know, let me ask you something that's been bothering me for a long time. I said, you know, in yeshiva we sit and we learn, and you know, people have good midas, people have bad midas, but it's a davar pashut, and I've seen it work over 20-25 years' time. That when a person sits and learns and gets into learning, he becomes healed, he becomes a better person. I said to him, and I noticed that a lot of times people go and they work on their issues, and their whole life becomes their issues, to the extent that they can't sit and learn. So are we pushing it too far? He said to me, it's a good question. I want to think about it. I want to think about how I can express the answer. And a couple of days later, he said to me, you know, I think I know how to put it. He said, every Talmud, every boy in yeshiva who comes in, he's a kli. He's a vessel. And you fill him with Torah. And the Torah heals him. And you have good rabbeim, and you have a good program. But what do you do if the vessel has too many cracks in it? He said, then you can have the best Torah, and said you can even have, you know, a Rebbe like Daniel Sinowitz, wanted to make me feel good about myself. But if the kli has a crack in it, the Torah is not going in. I hold on to that answer, not just for the comfort that it offers, because a lot of times you need it, but also because of the approach. He could have said to me, you know, listen, I talked it over with Rabbi Meiselman. If you want to know the answer to that question, so let's talk to him. But he didn't do that. He felt that it was important that I appreciate the answer to my own question. They're on the same team. And that sometimes you have to give on one side in order to gain on another. The midah of hachna. It's a midah of anava. Of being able to deal with somebody else's vantage point. so that you're both together. But I'll tell you where I really appreciated who he was. And really, I think maybe this story gave birth to the first one. I went to visit him last year. He was sitting shiva for his father. And, it was really, They had a pretty long conversation about a lot of different things. It was interesting. But he told me a lot about himself. Told me that he got a rather late start in Yiddishkeit and Torah. And towards the beginning, so he was living either in or near Long Beach. If some of the details are not precise, you'll please forgive me. But he approached the Rosh Yeshiva of Long Beach, who he had shaychus with, and he said, you know, I want to go to Shir. I want to go to Shir. You're 30 years old, 35 years old. Where am I going to put you? There is no Shir for you. He said, I don't care. I'll go in with the ninth graders. Just let me go into the Shir. He said, let me think about it. Came back to him afterwards. He said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. It's too awkward. First of all, the ninth graders are way ahead of you. And it also just doesn't make any sense. You have this 35-year-old guy, you know, whatever, 6'5" of him or whatever. He's going to be sitting there with the ninth graders. But he didn't give up. I don't remember whether he asked the Rosh Yeshiva whether he could ask the ninth grade Rebbe to be in the Shir or whether he just did it on his own, but he did. And he said, fine. And he sat there with the ninth graders. And he said to me, and that's why I have an appreciation of what a yeshiva is, because those 13, 14-year-olds, they were running circles around me, but I saw the intensity. And I picked up. A person who's capable of doing that, is capable of listening to other people and connecting with other people, knowing where they're coming from. He's not going to sit and listen to people and try to fit everything that they say into his own worldview. You do that, you can't connect with anybody. The Brisker Rav tells us that Paro's mistake was, a funny type of a way, is that he didn't chap the Rambam in Hilchos Tainis. The Rambam in Hilchos Tainis tells us towards the beginning, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, if a person is beset by tragedy, im lo yizaku, and he doesn't daven, the lawyer Rio doesn't cry. El Yomer Dover Zemi Mino Gailam. This is just the way the world goes. Hare Zederech Achzarius. It's cruelty. The Goyremes Lahem Li Dovek Bemaseim Aroim. A person like Parai who sees that he's beset by tragedy and he says, okay, that's the way the world goes. He's too involved in his own ego. I did win the election. He didn't win the election. I did win the election. He didn't win the election. Everybody's got their agenda. Everything is going to explode. But if you're able to sit back and realize that if there's a problem, that it has something to do with me, with Hachna, with Anava, so then you learn from your mistakes. You make yourself better and you make the world around you better as well. I always say that you want to know who a person is, look at his eyes. There are some people with angry eyes. Some people's eyes are lethargic, lazy. Some are despondent and sad. And some people's eyes are just absent. They're not there. They're thinking about something else. But then you have the people whose eyes whose eyes are pure. Just deep and pure. And you look into them and you just see there's just a very, very good person behind those eyes. Yifei Naim. Anybody met him knew that he had those type of eyes. No machitzas. It was that same anava, that same hachnoa. The esteem that he had for the Rosh Yeshiva, big Talmidei Chachamim, whenever he wanted to give me a compliment, he said, "You're a good Talmud of Rabbi Meiselman." But that's what it was. Clear eyes. No machitzas. If a person wants to connect with other people, which is ultimately the key to connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's got to get rid of his own agenda. He's got to get rid of his own ego. An appreciation of somebody who over the last number of years, not talking about his pikris, and I'm not talking about his gainis, and you know, that I'm not the one to talk to about. But just on the simple level of being a good, good human being. It's something that we all have to take. And appreciate. And Adam Kosher leaves this world, so you have to cry. You have to realize what you lost. An unsung hero in the yeshiva to very many people. People we touched directly and people we touched indirectly. This week, there are a lot of people who are kalim who have holes. And the holes are going to have to be filled in. I don't know what else to do other than to ask the man himself. To ask Dr. Balin up on high, Reb Zev, Zechet Tzadik, Livracha, to think about your children and think about your Talmidim and think about all the people you touched and think about all the people that you helped. And go to the Kisei HaKavod and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fill in the gaps, some of those holes. He's going to be missed. Be'ezras Hashem, he'll continue helping us from where he is. That's my appreciation. Bila Amavis Lenetzach V'dimo Mi'al Kol Ponim. It should be a good Shabbos and a happy Shabbos, and Be'ez Hashem, only Simchas from now on.